Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. When winter approaches, is safety for your family the first thing on your mind? In the next hour, we'll open the lines to hear how you keep your loved ones safe during the winter months. What steps do you take when big winter storms hit? The National Safety Council also reports that cooking is the leading cause of house fires in the winter. Is this something that you're concerned with? Right after the news, we want to hear what winter safety tips and advice you have for Native America. And now, National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A new report concludes that Canadian police have failed to protect Aboriginal women and girls from murder and violence. It's the latest call for a public investigation into the cases of hundreds of murdered and missing Aboriginal women. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
The Human Rights Wing of the Organization of American States says there are many social and economic issues to address to stop the violence against Indigenous women. The organization looked into the handling of missing and murdered Aboriginal women in British Columbia. What it found was part of a wider pattern of violence and discrimination across the country. The report is being welcomed by Aboriginal groups in Canada. Dawn Harvard is the vice president of the Native Women's Association.
This report is the first in-depth examination of the murders and disappearances by an expert international human rights body. These women and girls are being stolen from our families, from our communities, and it is time that somebody is taking this seriously.
The report doesn't call for an inquiry, but does call for a more coordinated response or action plan to address why Aboriginal women face higher risks of violence. Aboriginal women in Canada are murdered or disappear at a rate four times higher than in the rest of the population. Police estimate that more than 1,100 have been missing or murdered since 1980. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
Last week's Nebraska Supreme Court decision paves the way for the state's governor to approve the Keystone Pipeline across his state. More litigation is likely pending over the project, but even if the pipeline gets the approval in Nebraska, it still faces hurdles in South Dakota. Tribal governments across the state have passed resolutions against the pipeline, and tribal officials are lining up in opposition at upcoming state regulatory hearings. Charles Michael Ray reports.
For the pipeline to go through, it must have permits in all the states it crosses and the approval of President Obama. South Dakota is now the last state on the pipeline route without official approval. The State Public Utilities Commission earlier granted a pipeline permit, but after 4 years it expired. Now the issue is up before the commission again. Pipeline opponents, like the Rosebud Sioux Tribe, now see South Dakota as a final battleground in the process. Matt Rappold is an attorney for the tribe.
At this point, the Rosebud Sioux Tribe is disappointed with the result from the Nebraska Supreme Court. We will remain steadfast in our determination to oppose TransCanada and the Keystone XL pipeline in front of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission.
But those backing the Keystone Pipeline championed the outcome of the issue before the Nebraska Supreme Court and called on President Obama to approve the project. Pipeline backers say Keystone XL can provide economic benefits without harming the environment. The next meeting of the South Dakota Public Utilities Commission on the Keystone Pipeline is scheduled in May. During this time, both TransCanada officials and opponents of the pipeline, including some 40 interveners, will present their cases. Any final PUC decision could then potentially be challenged in court. For National Native News, I'm Charles Michael Ray in Rapid City, South Dakota.
The leader of a South Dakota tribe is denying allegations released in a Human Rights Watch report Monday. The Argus Leader reports Lower Brule Sioux Tribal Chair Michael John Drew says the report is full of errors and misrepresentations. The report alleges more than $20 million in funds meant for essential services were diverted and unaccounted for between 2007 and 2013. For more about the report, visit our archive audio from Monday's newscast on our website, nativenews.net. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
Music. National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
The Albuquerque Hispano Chamber of Commerce's Convention and Tourism Department welcomes to Albuquerque the Gathering of Nations to the UNM Pitt April 24th. Information on services and the Gathering of Nations at ahcnm.org.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support National Native News. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Last week, a tweet from Mars Weather said parts of Canada and northern United States were colder than it is on the planet Mars. News reporters have also taken on winter challenges, like throwing hot cups of water in the air to see if it'll freeze. We know lots of people are focused on winter, and that's why we're taking a moment today to beef up on safety tips and good practices as we head into more chilly months. And as we begin, here's a quick tour of temperatures in Native America. From the National Weather Service today, here are the reports. In Barrow, Alaska, where KBRW is, today's high is expected to be around minus 14 degrees with a wind chill that feels like minus 20 degrees. And tomorrow, I hear it's going to be colder. In Keams Canyon, Arizona, and KUII country, there is an expected high of 41 degrees with rain and snow possible today and tomorrow. And in Fort Belknap, Montana, where folks tune in to KGVA, it's mostly sunny with freezing fog tonight, and the expected high is around 23 degrees. So there's your weather for the day for parts of Native America. And as you hear, there are some places around the country where knowing how to handle the winter conditions could be very useful. And many safety advocates say when temperatures get this low, safety needs to come first. And we want to know, do you have any winter safety tips or advice to share with us? And did you have to learn about a winter danger the hard way and are a safer person now for it? And what about being stranded or snowed in? Did you know what to do when this happened to you? What'd you do to keep safe? What about keeping your family safe? Call in and tell us how you survived. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And now joining us from Newtown, North Dakota, is Fatima Hood. She's a traffic safety coordinator for the Mandan Hidatsa Nation, and she is Mandan Hidatsa and Arikara. Welcome to Native America Calling, Fatima.
Hello.
Hi, Fatima. Thank you for being with us today. And just want to start off, you know, anything really important that you would like to tell Native America about being safe this winter?
Basically, it's just, you know, if you know the weather is going to be, you know, pretty bad out there, you know, it's best just to stay indoors. Don't leave if you don't have to. You know, only if if it's just for emergencies. But other than that, it's best just to stay off the road or, you know, and like if you really need to go, it's to, you know, check your weather report or check the news, check your local station, seeing how the roads are, you know, because most will say no travel advice. And, you know, and if they say no travel advice, you know, usually really listen to what, you know, what they're telling you because then the roads are not good out there.
And Fatima, in your area, is there a number that you'd like to put out where people can get this kind of information?
There's not really. I don't know if there is a number. I've always gone to, you know, Facebook is really good. I'll go to like our KX news, you know, and check there because they'll usually have the local weather report. And I'll go to that, and so most of the time, you know, I'll share it with others, too, so that they'll see what the roads are like or what the conditions are going to be like, and then even the weather itself. I'll usually share what the KX is sharing. But it's usually our local stations, you know, like, and the KX is from Minot, so.
And Fatima, I'm glad you're mentioning stations. I know a lot of people, you know, that's when they really turn up the volume on some of their stations, including tribal stations, to find out some of those weather conditions. And I'm also encouraging people, if you're one of the folks who turns on your radio to make sure to know what is happening in terms of weather, tell us about it. 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Fatima, a lot of people like to be prepared when it comes to winter storms or traveling, especially when there's a lot of snow. Any advice you have on, you know, making that trip or preparing to go outdoors?
When you're going outdoors, you want to have like a winter survival kit in your vehicle. And that's just in case anything were to happen, you know, if you just happen to get stranded, or, you know, anything. You want your blankets, your sleeping bag, warm clothing, that could be, you know, a heavier jacket, some boots, you know, get gloves, socks, maybe even a ski mask. You can also have even food down to, your water. They say to keep it frozen because, you know, when you, so that it's cold for you. You can even have, like, hard candies, jelly beans, raisins, nuts, candy bars, jerky. You can even keep books in there, something that would keep you awake if you feel like you're going to be there for a long period of time. Your tissue, and kind of bright clothing too, so that way somebody will see you in the vehicle. So they say, you know, the bright orange is pretty good to keep in your car.
And Fatima, you know, when, you know, this situation happens, or, you know, you all of a sudden you get stuck in the snow, or maybe just your car fails and you, there you are, what would you say is the first step to take?
If you get stranded, your best thing is to stay with your vehicle. You don't want to get out trying to walk anywhere. It's best just to stay there. It's always good to carry your cell phone. And even then, prior to leaving, you want to let people know where you're at, you know, before you leave and say, this is where I'm going. It's probably going to take this long until I get there. So that way your family or your friends will know, like, you know, they should have been there by now, and some, you know, something's going on. And and if you do, you know, then to call your 911 if anything were to happen. And if your vehicle can start, they say to run it, you know, for long, like every 15 minutes. You want to keep your exhaust pipe clear of snow. And yep, you want to, they say, position your car so it faces the wind. So it's not like with it, and then, you know, if you had to get out or something, and then you just get this big gust of wind coming in. That's basically it. I mean, you just kind of want to, if you make sure you have your winter survival kit, you know, your phone, and that way, you know, people will try to get to you as, you know, as soon as they can.
All right. Thanks for that, Fatima. And if there is also advice you'd like to add, give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. And if there are any mechanics in the audience today and you have good winter safety tips, maybe even how to prepare your car for the winter months, call us. We'd love to hear your advice, too. And if there are any folks who help in the EMS arena and there are tips you want to add to the hour, you can call us, too. And of course, if you have a story about surviving, lessons learned, and you want to share with others, please do call in 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Fatima, any advice on just conserving your battery in case you are stranded? Is there a good routine or, you know, any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's just like running your, you know, you want to run your engine, you know, every 15 minutes, you know, that way you're not, and probably don't want, you know, if your hazard lights need to be on, which, you know, they probably will, so somebody can see you. But just try not to have too many things on so that, you know, your battery's going to die. That way you'll have enough in order to someone, until someone gets to you. And it's good to carry, you know, tires, you know, tire chains. Make sure you have your booster cables too, a tow rope if possible. That way you'll have all that in case someone does come upon you and, you know, they don't have all stuff available, you would get yourself back on the road again. But hopefully you won't have to go in that situation, you know, if, you know, if, like I said, if you just don't have to go anywhere when it's in the weather's bad, you know, it's best just to stay home. Because sometimes you do get those drivers that, you know, they want to get out there and, you know, they get too fast, you know, and that's where the crashes happen. And you just got to, you know, take your time and slow down.
And Fatima, anything else about preparing our car for the winter or, you know, just good things to remind folks about, even like getting your brakes checked?
Yeah, you want to have, make sure, you know, when you're going to get your oil change, you want to make sure you have, you know, the all-season tread, make sure they're in good condition. You do want to get your brakes checked, you know, when you do go get your oil change, make sure everything is good there. That will, you know, lessen the chance of getting on those slippery roads. You got to check your exhaust system, make sure there's no leak. Your wiper blades are, you know, need to be really good too, you know, when you start getting the snow and the ice starts accumulating on your windshield. Keep your antifreeze also handy with you if you need to. Your radiator, the heater core, you have to check all the hoses. You want to make sure all of that is really good so that way when you're out on the road, you don't have to worry about your vehicle.
All right, thanks for that, Fatima. Again, phone lines are open, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we are talking winter safety here. You're going to be hearing from different voices connected to Native America on people who really take caution and also give good advice during this year, especially when the winter months roll around. And if there's something you'd like to know, give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Or maybe you heard of something and you're not quite sure about it. Maybe you saw something on Pinterest and you want to ask somebody about it. Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and take our first caller. We have Lenora in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Lenora, what would you like to share?
Well, I just want to add something to the speaker that you just had on. She said to keep your cell phone with you, you know, in order to call somebody if you get in trouble. Well, I think a cell phone and a car charger go hand in hand. But if you take your cell phone with you and it dies, you're out of luck. So
yep.
That was all I wanted to add. Just add a charger to that.
All right. Thanks, Lenora. And you can even get batteries that you can charge your phone with. Those sometimes come in handy. So thanks for the reminder, Lenora. Again, add your reminders to keep safe in the winter, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And Fatima, we talk about getting on the road. Any other advice you might have about just being a more cautious driver when your wheels are turning and you're on the road?
When you're out on the road, I mean, regardless of the weather, whether you're driving your SUV or your little compact car, especially in this type of weather now, you know, with all the snow and ice, you just want to go at a reduced speed. That's why I say, you know, if you feel like you need to go somewhere, it's, getting that time, amount of time for you to get there. Don't be in a hurry because, you know, with all the crashes, you know, that do happen are from people that are driving too fast. You also got to watch out for the snow plowers. I mean, when they're out there, you know, they're trying to work hard for the safety so people can get out on the road and clear them off. You kind of want to stay behind them, so far so that way, you know, all the snow is not, coming at you and you can't see. But it's actually just taking those safety tips, you know, and just driving slow. I mean, you just got to take your time to get to where you're going.
And Fatima, would you suggest that people take, if there are any, winter safety driving courses, especially maybe our teens and our elders? What do you think?
Yes, I'm really big on winter driving safety. We tried to have one, but because I think it was so new, we didn't get a good turnout. So I'm hoping to host another one, and hopefully we'll kind of get a bigger turnout. It would be good for, I mean, not just your teens and your elders, but living on Fort Berthold, you know, we're the heart of the Bakken, you know, you got trucks galore. I mean, you pass 10 semis in a vehicle. I think it would be really good for the truck drivers to take a winter driving, you know, course. And a lot of the out-of-town, out-of-state people, too, would be good for them, you know, now that they're living in the area, and it would be good for them to take that as well, so that way they know.
All right. Thanks for that. And Fatima, finally, any advice? You know, sometimes maybe we're not the one who is broken down on the side of the road, but what about helping others? Are we really helping when we pull over? And what about, you know, just being safe about not falling into traps? You always see different things floating around the internet of don't stop and help. Any advice on all that?
I mean, you have to protect yourself, too. I mean, your best bet would be just to, if you have your cell phone on you, your best bet is just to, I mean, not pull over by them, but, you know, pull over along the side of the road and then call for help. You know, and just say, I passed this car on the road and hazard lights are going, or, you know, I'm not sure if there's people in the vehicle. I may have saw movement. If you can send an officer to go check on them. So that way, you know, and if they'll tell you, yes, we'll be sending help on the way, either for you. I mean, it's kind of almost of a touchy subject, I guess, too, because you want to help them, but you don't know what you're coming upon either. So, I mean, just your best thing is just probably just to try to call 911 for them.
All right. Well, Fatima, we do appreciate you joining us, traffic safety coordinator up there in North Dakota. We appreciate your time, and thanks for all the advice. Fatima gave us a lot of information to think about and consider. And if there are things you'd also like to add to the conversation, call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. And what do you think about what Fatima shared about having a winter survival kit? What do you put in yours? What do you always make sure that you have? And you also make sure you have supplies for your riders as well, especially young ones. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. We spent a little time hearing about being on the road and safety. If there is something else that you consider during the winter months, about maybe even making your home safer, or when you are going to be out in the snow for fun, give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. I want to go ahead and welcome another voice to the hour. Joining us from California is Dori Beats, and she is the emergency manager for her tribe. She has been a community emergency response person, and she also teaches first aid, and she's part of the National Ski Patrol. And we want to go ahead and welcome her to the hour. Welcome to Native America Calling, Dori.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me.
And Dori, great to have you here. Go ahead and just tell folks a little bit about the nation you are connecting us to today.
I'm with the Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians, and we are located in the Central Sierra foothills of California, about an hour north of Yosemite National Park, right kind of at snow line, about 2,800 feet, and we have about 1,700 acres for our little tribal community here. So
you are surrounded in winter for in a big way, I guess you could say, too. Dori, anything you just want to kick off with, the most important thing that you think people need to know during the winter months?
You know, I think you've touched on some of them. I think having a plan and being prepared, and being prepared, Fatima, you know, spoke about it, listening to the weather reports, you know, knowing what's coming your way and being ready for that, and be cognizant of what the potential risks are in your community. If you live in a tribal community where it snows, a lot, and you know that power could go out, understanding what you might have to have in your cupboards in your house to be ready and prepared to kind of shelter in place for a couple days if the weather's too crazy to go out to, or if you have a really bad winter storm, trees that could be downed and could prevent you from actually getting out of your home because the roadways are blocked. We've had that happen here a couple of years. And so just understanding what the potential risks are in your community and being informed about what is coming your way by listening to the news or paying attention to, you know, newspaper or other weather reports that might be coming your way so that you can be better prepared.
And Dori, are there any specific places that you like to turn to know the latest on what's going on, especially with the weather?
I check our local weather. Every county here in California and in other communities, I think they may have their own internal kind of weather alert system where through cell service and even emails now you can punch in your contact information and that local community will send you alerts when impending weather is coming. So I think that's great for tribal communities to take advantage of as well. So I turn to that. A lot of media, Facebook is, you know, any of the social media is great too. All of the big services, whether it's your county, your state, or nationally, have ability to kind of keep people informed about impending weather. And of course, just turning on the TV or the radio and listening to the news.
And Dori, when you are posting on social media, what is a good post? What kind of information do you want to be putting up when it comes to maybe warning others about weather?
I think, you know, the most accurate information, I think how to be prepared, where to get more information about services that might be available in tribal communities, if there's a hall or a community or a shelter that might be sent up, you know, giving the information to the hours that that might be available, those resources that might be available for the community prior to, you know, I'm thinking like if you had floods and rains coming, if there were sandbags available for tribal community members to use. So social media is great to put that information, but making sure it's succinct and very accurate and has a referral for where people can go to.
And what do you think about Fatima's advice of just letting people know when you're leaving? And I guess you should also tell them the route you're taking.
Exactly. I think that is great advice because what ends up happening, obviously, is because of the weather, cell service may be interrupted. You may not be able to get access to those individuals the way we think we can normally from day to day. So if you let them know, if you have to leave the home, I think Fatima made a great point that if you know that impending weather is coming, that you might want to make sure you have all your supplies so you're not having to go out in that type of weather and drive and risk. And you may be good at driving in bad weather. It's the other folks that you might be encountering on the road, or you get a flat tire or your car dies. So if you let those individuals know ahead of time that you're leaving and what your route is, if they can't get a hold of you and you don't show up, they can at least retrace your steps.
Sure. And it could be what keeps you safe, too. We're going to continue with this discussion about winter safety here on Native America Calling. And again, we want to hear from you, too. Add to the conversation. Tell us your winter safety tips. We'll be right back. Some of the most renowned chefs started as dishwashers. It can take years to move up the work ladder, but it can be very rewarding. On the next Native America Calling, we're honoring Native professionals who've moved into new and exciting positions. Are you one of them? Or perhaps you have a Native professional in the family to brag about. We're inviting you to join us.
To the valley of the beast, meet between these dirt streets and this concrete, yelling freedom from my people till the day that I die. Let out this war cry from my people in the sky. So let me pray to the east, burn my sage and say my peace.
Naturally, you couldn't handle me, and this vanity has damaged me. Lost inside the cycle, still I pray for my family. Damn it, we grew up inside insanity. Middle finger up to the flag you saluting. Back into a corner, revolution, the solution. This is for the women, stolen, forced, and prostitution. And I'm repping for my brethren.
Kwanek Broadcast Corporation announces the Alaska Native Art Auction taking place on February 26, 2015 in Anchorage, Alaska. This one-of-a-kind event includes artwork from the Alaska Native community. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. If you would like to contribute art, reserve a table, or become a sponsor, learn more at knba.org. Proceeds benefit National Native News Programming.
Welcome back. You're listening to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood, and we are talking about winter safety. So we want to hear from you, too. And did you know that cooking is the main course or cause of house fires during the winter? Did you also know that January is the peak time for carbon monoxide poisonings? Those facts are on the National Safety Council website. You can also find more information on things like driving safely in the snow and also avoiding and treating frostbite. Here's the address, nsc.org. And also, January is National Radon Action Month, and the United States Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, is encouraging you to learn more about radon and to get your home tested, because you could be, exposed to radon. It's something that has a lot of health officials concerned, too. We're going to be talking about that in the hour as well. And if there is something you would like to add to the conversation, we're ready for your call. And if you have any questions about safety, there are folks on the line with us today who can help you with those. Our number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Calls are coming in. We want to hear what you have to say. Again, if you want to join the conversation, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's bring in our first caller on the line with us today. We have a caller coming to us from Bethel, Alaska, tuned in on KYUK. Let's go ahead and bring in Teresa. Hello, Teresa.
Hi there. Good morning. I just want to suggest suggestion for stranded people. I don't know what they make. I know some people make SOS signs when they're stranded, but then, you know, for nighttime, they can make some kind of a sign with a reflective tape that they can put on top of their car or, you know, on the hood, so that people that are looking for them at nighttime from the air will know that it's a stranded car.
All right. Good thinking, Teresa. Thank you for your call there in Bethel. Again, if there's something you'd like to add, 1-800-996-2848. Let's take another caller. We have Peggy on the line in Ada, Oklahoma, tuned in on KCNP. Peggy, what would you like to share with Native America?
Yes, ma'am. My father was a mechanic, and one time we got stranded in a blizzard, and the main thing he said is, if you get into a skid, don't turn your wheels away from the skid. Turn them towards the skid, and don't slam on your brakes. You just pat them until you get straightened out. And another thing is, to be prepared, keep plenty of blankets in your car, plenty of drinking water, you know, so you can survive till you get help.
All right, Peggy, good advice. You were taught well. I heard similar things growing up, too, and I think those few tips have definitely saved me on some pretty slick roads. Peggy, thank you for your call there in Ada, Oklahoma. Again, add to the conversation. Tell us your winter safety tips, driving. What about in the home? We want to hear about those, too. 1-800-996-2848. Let's take another call. We got Donna in Wasilla, Alaska, tuned in on KNBA. Donna, what would you like to tell people about?
Oh, well, I had an incident when I was teaching in a village where I fell asleep on an airplane, And because I fell asleep, I forgot my gloves, and I immediately went on a sled to go to my cabin. And it was so cold that in like about 7 minutes, my hands got super cold because I was holding on to my little dog on the sled, riding on the back of a snow machine. And, you know, I didn't grow up here in Alaska, so I didn't realize that my hands were all, they were frostbit. And I just knew they were super cold, so I went into my cabin and I immediately put them in front of the hot stove. And all 10 of my fingers got frostbit. So I learned a hard lesson. I was telling the lady, I got a PhD in the School of Hard Knocks. I learned that if you ever get any part of your body frostbit, don't put it in front of a stove or put it in hot water. You need to have lukewarm water. And I learned that after the fact. But I managed to go to work and work with 10 fingers that were super sensitive, but I made it.
All right, Donna, thank you for your call. And, you know, thank you for sharing some of, as you said, I like the way you put that, a PhD in the School of Hard Knocks. If you are also a doctor of hard knocks, call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. What have you learned the hard way about being safe in the winter? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go ahead and welcome back our guests on the line with us today from California. Is Dori Beetz. She is the emergency manager for the Teolome Band of Miwok Indians, and she is also a tribal member. Welcome back, Dori.
Hello, thank you.
And Dori, anything you'd like to add? Donna just shared a story with us about frostbite. Anything you want to add about, you know, what first steps you take if you think you got frostbite?
Yeah, you know, she brings up a very good point. You know, one of the things that goes hand in hand with frostbite, of course, is hypothermia. In frostbite, you want to, you want to warm it back up slowly. Any kind of, cooler water, not hot water, not in front of a fire. But, you know, hypothermia, we talk about a little bit about that. You know, it can be a little deceiving for folks because hypothermia symptoms usually begin slowly. So we could be outside, even if it's sunny, and you may feel a little warm, and you might be out in the snow and playing, or unfortunately, you know, in some cases, you may be stuck in the snow. And it starts very slowly. And as you develop it, your ability to think and move often become clouded. In fact, you may be unaware that you actually really need help because that thought process is impaired, and there's some certain symptoms, and one of them, of course, you're likely to have frostbite as well because you're losing circulation in those fingers and toes and those things at the ends of your body because your body's taking time to work to keep you warm, that it shuts down to the very ends of you, and that's why you get frostbite that occurs on both your fingers and toes. So your core temperature is dropping below the normal. Normal is 98.6, but in hypothermia, the symptoms usually your body temperature is dropping below 95. And so in order to conserve, your blood is not circulating to those far end digits, and that's why frostbite is occurring. But there's some symptoms that include some things that, you know, you can look for yourself, the things that you can observe in others that you would definitely want to have immediate, get immediate care for those individuals in those types of situations.
And what about, you know, after, you know, you've warmed up, should you still be monitoring to make sure, you know, something doesn't happen once you get back indoors? Could you then start having fevers, or is there anything you should watch for after you've been in the cold?
Yeah, so hypothermia, the symptoms really include kind of uncontrollable shivering. You might have weakness and loss of coordination, confusion. Your skin is kind of pale and cold. You might have some drowsiness. Your breathing and heart rate has now slowed. If it's not treated properly, you know, cardiac arrest, shock, and in a worst case, coma, and then death could set in. And hypothermia can even be fatal. Now, looking at other individuals, some of the things that you're looking at in the immediate symptoms that you would need help is obviously disorientation. You know, asking that individual, hey, what day is it? Where do you know where you're at? If they can't answer those basic questions, you're going to want to get help immediately. If they've warmed up, you still want to monitor them because everybody is different, and you can't always, you know, predict the exact reaction. And so keeping a close eye on those individuals and monitoring team for those symptoms, those immediate need for immediate help, the disorientation, poor articulation of words, cyanosis, so they have blueness to their skin, and then their pulse is irregular or very weak, and those are the times that you want to make sure you get in to seek immediate medical care.
All right. And Dori, we know you know being out in the cold, especially with the work that you're doing. Anything else you'd like to add, just, you know, specifics or maybe children or elders when we talk about being safe, especially when you're heading outdoors?
Well, I mean, you know, I think everyone's talked about being prepared. So clothing is probably the most key factor. If you know you're going to go out in the winter, making sure that you have adequate clothing. They make all kinds of type of clothing that are better equipped and for being out in the snow or the cold. Cotton, those types of things that get wet and cold and damp are not going to be good for you. You see kids playing out all the time in their t-shirts or when that gets damp and cold and they're out there, even though it could be a sunny day, their body again is reacting differently. So having your kids, having them prepared and you yourself being prepared in what you wear when you're going to go out into those types of elements really helps as well.
All right. Thanks, Dori. We got another caller. Let's go ahead and hear from Nisa, who is in Taos, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Nisa, welcome to the hour.
Thank you so much. I just wanted to add, if you drive an automatic transmission car, this is super important. Put it in neutral before you apply your brakes, and you will not skid. It totally, for some reason, eliminates the skid factor. I always carry a shovel, a broom, and some sand or gravel, even a roofing shingle can help you get unstuck.
I've heard about that one, Nisa. Thank you for your call there in Taos, New Mexico. Again, you can continue to connect with us. You can also send us an email. Send it to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller. We have Joanne in Alaska tuned in on KNBA. Joanne, what would you like to share?
Yes, this is a very interesting program. I'm Inupiaq Eskimo, and we've had to deal with some extreme conditions up here in Alaska and in Canada and further up north. I have not personally, but I read about it, and I think one of the key things is to watch those people, the adults and children who are emotionally disturbed, because they sometimes will make rash decisions. And, you know, we live in an imperfect world with imperfect personalities and characteristics, and we need to watch those. The other is, I know of a practice that Native elders have done to survive, to keep themselves warm, is to drink their own urine.
All right. Joanne, I haven't heard about that. I want to toss that back to Dori. Dori, any thoughts on that?
I have not heard that. I mean, very interesting. Some of the, when you think about, what our body does to discharge and get rid of waste, that if in a dire circumstance, I guess, if you had nothing else, I had not heard of that being an actual practice. But I think that some folks, may have. That'd be interesting. I'm going to do a little research on that myself.
All right. Thanks for that, Dori. You know, and while we're talking about it of, people consuming to be warm, I know a lot of people, when we were taking a look at people's tips, one was to make sure you have some alcohol because it'll keep you warm. Any thoughts on using that as a source to be warm in the winter?
I was telling the story the other day about how when I was growing up, my parents and my grandparents, if we went on a winter trips to go over the pass, there were certain things they always had, the blankets and the extra, they had water, but they obviously had a little stash of alcohol, and I don't necessarily recommend it, because what ends up happening, it's impairing your decisions, and maybe kind of fooling your ideal of safety. And so if you're getting colder, as we talked about some of the signs of hypothermia, having confusion and disorientation, and alcohol obviously often does that for folks as well. And so if you add that on top of it, your judgment may be impaired as to your ability to survive or make the decisions that are going to help you survive in that situation. So,
all right, Dory, thank you for the information. Also, thanks for that call up there in Alaska. We've been mentioning about indoors too, and I got two folks on the line with us today who have a couple of things to tell us to be safe inside our homes. Let's go ahead and bring in from Fort Defiance, Arizona, Tenille Begay. She is the Senior Environmental Specialist with the Navajo Nation Environmental Protection Agency Air Quality Control Program, and she is Navajo. Also with us on the line is A.J. Sokolsky on the line, and he is a project manager with the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium's Healthy Homes Program. I want to welcome A.J. and both Tenille to the hour, and let's go ahead and talk about safety indoors. A.J., you work with the program Healthy Homes. Tell us a little bit about what you're teaching to make sure people are safe indoors.
Well, we're focusing on children who have had some severe or frequent respiratory illnesses. So what we're looking to do is give these kids who have had a lot of respiratory illnesses the cleanest air to breathe that we can. So the fundamentals that we're really looking at are ventilating the home and making sure that we're using heating devices in a way that they were made and manufactured to be used.
Okay. And also, Tenille, anything you want to start us off with about, things to consider now?
Yes. Hi. Well, here on the Navajo Nation with the Navajo Environmental Protection Agency, we are actually developing a program with EPA BurnWise that focuses on wood and coal stove usage on the Navajo Nation. And some of the main things that we try to focus on and emphasize here is to burn the right wood the right way and in the right burning appliance, and that can reduce harmful pollutants inside your home.
And burning the right wood, what do you mean? Do you mean don't use plywood or those old crates, or what would you say is the good wood?
Exactly. So the main wood here that people use on the Navajo Nation are pine, cedar, and oak. And when you go out and you go and, harvest your wood, you want to make sure that you are drying your wood for at least 6 months to where it has a 20% moisture content or less. So that'll make it so when you do burn it, that it burns hotter and more efficiently. Wet wood is a waste because the energy that it takes to, essentially dry up the water and then actually get to the wood, it's basically wasting the energy and you're losing heat as opposed to, warming your home like you would want to do with that.
All right. Thanks, Tenille. And when we talk about inside the home, air quality is something that we're concerned with. I want to go ahead and bring in a voice joining us from Washington, D.C. Phil's on the line. He is connected to the EPA. And Phil, welcome to the hour. And I'd like to just, definitely have a moment before the hour is up. I know a lot of people are talking about radon awareness. Phil, anything specific you'd like to tell us about this?
Yes, definitely, and thanks for having me. I think the most important thing people should know is that they should test their homes for radon. Knowing what your radon level is important to understanding what your long-term risk is.
All right, and Phil, what does radon do to us?
Radon essentially only has one health effect, and that is it causes lung cancer. And it does that because radon is a naturally occurring radioactive element, and the gas contains particles which have high energy. And when these particles are embedded in your lung through the normal process of breathing, these particles emit their energy, and they have the potential to damage the DNA in your cell tissue. And once that happens, you have a high potential for developing a cancer.
And Phil, how long, you know, does something like this last? I mean, is it a span of over years, or can one winter, can radon take its effect?
That's very difficult to know, but the general consensus in the scientific community is that you want to limit your exposure as much as possible, partly because there's a what we call a latency period for radon. If you're exposed now, it may be years before the cancer actually manifests. So anything you can do now, no matter what age you are, to limit your exposure, minimize your exposure, will also minimize your future risk of developing lung cancer. And of course, everyone is different and every circumstance is different, so it's impossible to predict whether any one person will get lung cancer because of radon. But I think the other important thing for your audience to know is that if you smoke and you have a radon level that's high, you have a much higher risk of lung cancer over time. So if you can both limit your radon level and limit your smoking or eliminate smoking, you're going to be much better off.
And Phil, we do reach a national audience here. Are there any national numbers or places in case somebody wants to learn more about this that people can go to?
Definitely. EPA has had a radon program for more than 25 years. And I would suggest that callers, if they want to test their homes, call our hotline, which is 1-800-767-7236. It's also known as 1-800-SOS-RADON, and they can order a test kit through that number.
All right. Thank you for connecting with us, Phil. And AJ, you also work with making homes healthier. Anything to add?
Just that, you know, in these winter months, when we're really sealing our houses up tighter, trying to conserve heat and conserve money in the way that we're heating our home, we really have to think about how we are containing all of those indoor air pollutants, whether it's the radon that could be entering our home or behaviors that we're doing, like burning wood, cooking, smoking. All of that stuff can be in higher concentrations in the winter months, and that it's really important to continue ventilating the house, even in the winter months when it's cold outside, because the money that we might be saving through conserving our heat and our heating costs, we're paying for with our health.
All right. Thanks for that, AJ. And Tennille, we are getting close to the end of the hour and got some space for a couple of thoughts about, good tips. Tennille, is there anything you'd like to say about, you know, what we're putting in our stoves or our fireplaces to really get, you know, the heat that we want? Anything else we should be concerned with?
Mainly we have four tips that we emphasize here, and those are to, you know, make sure you are cleaning and repairing your stove or your chimney. You know, like I said, burning the right fuel, ensuring that you have proper ventilation, and then also using a smoke detector or a carbon monoxide alarm. And, you know, those four tips can actually help, you know, protect your family and also have a cleaner home. Before you use your heating appliance, clean the ash content out of it. Check your chimney regularly. Again, if you can't purchase a moisture meter and you want to check the moisture content of your wood, dry wood is normally lighter than wet wood. And then also you can look for cracks around the edges of the wood to see if the wood is actually dry. And also, if you knock two pieces of wood together and it sounds hollow, that means the wood is dry and it can be burned. So those are just a couple tips that we try to talk about here.
Tennille, those are definitely good ones. What about, I know some people, and you even see this in movies sometimes, put a little lighter fluid in there to really get that fire going. What do you have to say about that?
We don't don't recommend using lighter fluid or any type of combustion source like that inside your home. Lighter fluid actually contains a high amount of VOCs, volatile organic compounds, that can be released in your air, into the air, into the home. And when your house is sealed tightly and you're not getting ventilation, enough ventilation, you know, that can affect your lungs. And if you have a child or an elderly that has respiratory issues, you know, that can actually trigger maybe an asthma attack or, you know, aggravate their health. So we don't recommend that. What we do recommend is to use dry kindling. You can use paper. We recommend newspaper that doesn't have colored ink on it, and those, and just your basic lighter. So using things like lighter fluid, those things we don't actually recommend.
Okay, and we hear a lot about using smoke detectors. What about the products that are on the market, carbon monoxide detectors? Do those work?
Yes, they do work very well, and we do recommend that those be installed in the most lived-in areas and in each room of your home.
Okay, sounds good. And Tennille, anything else you want to leave us with, or any important numbers maybe we should just have on hand when we head deeper into the winter months?
Let me see. Mainly just remember the four tips, like we said, and then also ventilation. Ventilation is a big thing in the winter months, from, you know, whether or not you have a stove, a wood stove that heats your home, or whether or not you have a gas appliance, gas heater that heats your home, or a gas stove that you cook with, make sure you have proper ventilation inside your home. And I think that's one of the main tips that I want to leave with today.
All right. Thank you very much. And that's going to do it for today's discussion on winter safety. We've learned a lot today. Got a couple of good reminders. And if you learned something new and you were surprised about something you heard today about keeping safe in the winter, tell us about it. We always like feedback. You can reach us on email at comments@NativeAmericaCalling.com. You can also reach out to us on social media. We are on Facebook. Just look up Native America Calling. And we are on Twitter. Our handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. Thanks to all the folks who shared today, keeping us safe this winter. Thanks to Dory Beats, Fatima Hood, AJ Soklowski, and also to Neil Begay. Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I wish you the best as you continue to help all your communities. And we are also inviting you back again tomorrow as we highlight Native professionals who have stepped into new and exciting positions in their career. If you're one of them and you want to tell people about your great new job, call us tomorrow, call early, and you can send us emails too. Thanks to our staff here at Native America Calling, also National Native News and Native Voice One. I'm your host, Tara Gatewood. We'll be back tomorrow.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support Native America Calling. Just use PIC, click Give, and select KNBA-FM, Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Are you an experienced journalist who can lead radio producers and reporters in best practices and bring Native voices to a wide audience? Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation seeks an executive producer, program manager. Full description at NativeAmericaCalling.com.
1 in 6 young adults are real ill. Not just colds and flu, but the real deal. Cancer, among others in the work field, we're less likely to access and get healed. It's easy, don't get turned off by the process. Take control, your health ain't an option. But covering is with benefits for natives too. Tax credits, low cost, this is for you. Visit healthcare.gov/tribal or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.